Hey everyone, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you once again to this midweek video. We appreciate you tuning in as always. If you haven't already done so, if you would consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell here on YouTube as a way of staying current with the ministry, we would certainly appreciate that. What I want to talk about in this video, today is Thursday, February 27. 2 weeks ago on a snow day, on a Thursday, 2 weeks ago today, on a snow day, I received my copy of The Text of the King James Bible by Lawrence M. Vance. It's a brand new book, just came out, printed earlier this month, and I received my copy of that book 2 weeks ago. And so I've been thinking over the last 2 weeks about how I wanted to make a video about the release of this book and why I think this book is important, and share with you some of my thoughts regarding the ultimate publication of Vance's book. So what I've done is I put together a script for this video that I'm calling King James Onlyisms Impending Factual Reckoning. King James Onlyisms Impending Factual Reckoning. And I did get some research assistance on this provided by @SimplyProtestantBibleBeliever on YouTube. This is somebody who has helped me out, wished to remain anonymous, and so I'm just going to acknowledge help from another person using their anonymous YouTube handle, just so that the audience is clear about that. So the first thing that I want to talk about in this video is what I'm calling the works of Vance, okay? Since 2015, Lawrence M. Vance has released three important books that, in my opinion, cannot be ignored, all right? And King James Onlyists, or Defenders of the King James Bible, King James Bible Believers, Advocates, whatever term you want to use, cannot afford to ignore these books that have been written by Dr. Lawrence Vance. The first one is from 2015, The Making of the King James Bible New Testament. This was from 2015, about 10 years ago. This book covers some issues related to how the King James New Testament was made, and the relationship that the King James New Testament has to the Bishop's Bible. One of the things that has commonly been said amongst King James advocates is that the text, that rule number one that was given by Bishop Bancroft to the King James translators to follow the Bishop's Bible, unless the text of the original required otherwise, a lot of folks have said that that wasn't really true, that that wasn't really followed, okay? And what Dr. Vance does is he lays to rest once and for all time any notion that the translators did not follow rule number one, okay? So he collates the entire Bishop's New Testament with the King James New Testament and offers his findings, and he finds that 91% of the readings in the King James New Testament are in agreement with the Bishop's Bible from 1602. So The Making of the King James New Testament is the first important work that Vance did in 2015. In 2022, he released the third edition of the King James, his Bible and its translators. In 2022, this is the third edition. Now you can see this is a massive expansion from what was in the first edition from 2006. And so Vance has definitely expanded his work there. And then finally, the release again of the newest book, 2025, The Text of the King James Bible, that Vance has put out. Now, he originally released this in fascicles, okay? So here's the one. This was from 2019. Here's chapters 1 and 2, okay? 2020, the next year, he released chapter 3, okay? Chapter 3 was released in 2020. 2021, he released chapter 4, and then 2022, he released chapter 5, all right? Now, the premise was that if you bought the book in all of the fascicles, then when the book was finished, Vance would send you a completed copy in hardback, okay? So that's why I received that, because I had bought all of these. I bought those fascicles basically immediately after they came out in the given years that I just mentioned. If you haven't noticed, by the way, I am using a new computer, so my webcam might look a little bit different. I'm trying to, you know, figure this new one out here just a little bit, so bear with me on that if you would, please, okay? Now, The Text of the King James Bible. I believe that the text of the King James Bible, in my mind, constitutes Vance's magnum opus, okay? And this book cannot be ignored by King James Bible believers, okay? It just cannot be ignored by King James Bible believers. People who are advocates and defenders of the King James cannot afford to ignore it, because it is a significant book of, in my opinion, massive importance. I want to talk a little bit here about why, okay? So in the preface to the text of the King James, Vance states the following. He says, "The analysis of the text of the King James Bible contained herein is a much more detailed, methodical, and comprehensive," and in the context, he's comparing it to the American Bible Society report from 1851, okay, "and will allow the reader to judge the accuracy of these statements," and he's referring to some statements that were made by the ABS in the context. Outside of the United States, there is, of course, the work of Frederick H. A. Scrivener, okay, so Frederick Scrivener from the 19th century, and David Norton from the 21st century, and he says here that I stand on their shoulders, all right? So it's very clear that in the preface to the text of the King James Bible, Vance is saying is that he views himself as standing upon the shoulders of Scrivener and Norton, and that he feels he's making an advancement over the material that, on the topic of the text of the King James, that those men put out, Scrivener in the 19th century and Norton in the 21st century, okay? Many King James advocates detest David Norton on account of his work on the New Cambridge Paragraph Bible in 2005. So I have a copy of the New Cambridge Paragraph Bible. I don't use this Bible with any regularity. I have it as a piece of historical reference to what the work that David Norton did in 2005, okay? So 2005, David Norton edits the New Cambridge Paragraph Bible, in which he makes some edits to the text of the King James based upon Bod 1602 and other primary source documents that I don't necessarily agree with. I have it in my library, and I do make reference to it, but I don't use it with any regularity. And then David Norton also made comments about what he called AVolatry, or people who worship the AV, in his book, A History of the English Bible as Literature from 2000, which is extracted and condensed from his earlier work in the 1990s on just the Bible as literature, okay? So Norton is not well-liked, and he is detested by many King James Bible believers and advocates, okay? So therefore, many of them feel that they can just dismiss Norton's work in A Textual History of the King James Bible out of hand, okay, as they would the work of a Bible-correcting member, any other Bible-correcting member of the Academy, all right? And the same could also be said or applied to Gordon Campbell's work from 2010, Bible, the Story of the King James Version, 1611 to 2011. Now, as we think about some of these issues, I want to go ahead and also, I should have done this before we started, but I think I can do it quick enough. I want to open my copy of Norton's book. So just bear with me for 1 second here as I find this. So Norton's book came out in 2005, and it's a companion book to the Cambridge, the New Paragraph Bible that he edited for Cambridge University Press. All right. So let me find it. Here it is. And let's go ahead and open that. So this is the text, A Textual History of the King James Bible from Norton in 2005. This is a companion Bible, a companion book that is meant to go with the New Cambridge Paragraph Bible. So my point is this. King James Bible advocates, they absolutely detest David Norton because of some things that he says and some choices that he makes. And so what they do is they think they can just ignore his work, okay? Some pretty significant voices in the King James only defense realm are extremely negative about Norton. And look, on the one hand, I understand some level of, you know, caution regarding his work, but I think that things are just, they've gotten way out of hand, and people think they can just, you know, not even pay attention to what Norton says because he's a Bible correcting member of the Academy, and therefore they don't need to listen to anything that he says. And the same thing could be said for Gordon Campbell. Now, if you're not aware of it, so this is David Norton was a professor at the Victoria University of Wellington. Here is his page on the university faculty page, and it lists out some of his select publications. And you can see right here a textual history of the King James Bible, a history of the Bible as literature, the New Cambridge Paragraph Bible. So these are some of the more prominent works of David Norton. And then Campbell is a professor at University of Leicester, and he wrote for Oxford University Press the book Bible, the Story of the King James Version, 1611 to 2011. And there's no picture of Campbell here, but you can look at his presser page here on the university. And you can see here it is, Bible, the Story of the King James Version, written in 2010. So these are two guys, Campbell and Norton, who are within the academy that a lot of King James advocates don't like and will ignore. All right. Now, unlike many in King James circles who loathe David Norton, Dr. Vance values him highly for his work's sake, while not necessarily agreeing with all of his conclusions. Consider the following statements from the third edition. Again, that's the third edition of King James, his Bible, and its translators. So all of these are being taken from the third edition, and any bolding is my emphasis, not Dr. Vance's. Notice what he says in the preface. He says, I'm very much in the debt of David Norton, Emeritus Professor of English at the Victoria University of Wellington in New Zealand, not only for his valuable works, A History of the Bible as Literature, Cambridge, 1993, and A Textual History of the King James Bible, Cambridge, 2005, but also for his friendship and critical eye. So Dr. Vance is friends with Dr. Norton. The two of them have obviously collaborated, and Vance has solicited, to some degree, Norton's help with various aspects of his research and projects. And I would say, rightfully so. The text of A Textual History of the King James Bible is an absolutely pivotal book in understanding what happened with the history of the text. And so when Vance wants to work on similar content and material, you obviously want to go to people who are viewed as the leaders in that field, okay? Second from that book, so third edition of King James, Norton says this, Vance says this, David Norton, in his valuable work, A Textual History of the King James Bible, 2005, and that is wrong, that should be Vance, not Norton, but you can see here, once again, that Vance is praising Norton for his work, okay? Also from page 173, in his indispensable work, A Textual History of the King James Bible, 2005, David Norton asserts, and then thirdly on page 199, Norton's companion volume, A Textual History of the King James Bible, is nevertheless indispensable as mentioned at the beginning of this essay. So at least four times in the third edition of King James, his Bible, and its translators, Dr. Vance is praising and extolling the work of Dr. Norton and says that he thanks him for his friendship and for his collaboration, all right? Now, on page 173 of this book, while discussing the work of the 1629 Cambridge editors, Vance references and quotes Norton. So here's from page 173 of Vance. Notice what he says. He, referring to Norton in the context, counts 493 changes overall. So he's talking about the 1629 Cambridge, okay, including the Apocrypha, with 447 of them becoming the standard for future editions. The anonymous editors, so notice that Vance does not say that King James translators worked on the 1629 Cambridge text. He says the anonymous editors, quote, inaugurated the principal effort made by successive editors throughout this century to refine the King James Bible as a translation. So notice what Vance is saying, that they inaugurated the principal effect made by successive editors through into this century to refine the text of the King James Bible as a translation. So does Vance see the editors as refining the translation? He obviously does. That's what he says on page 173. Also on page 173, Vance is quoting from page 86 of Norton's work, A Textual History of the King James Bible. The very paragraph of Norton's work that Vance quotes states. So notice what he says. So Vance is quoting Norton, and this is what the paragraph that Vance is quoting states from Norton. Typically, the textual changes deal with perceived inaccuracies in the work of the translators rather than printer's errors. So Vance is quoting this affirmatively in the third edition of his book. Okay, they inaugurate the principal effort made by successive editors through into this century, the effect to refine the King James Bible as a translation. Usually this refinement is a matter of making the KJV a still more literal representation of the originals. The editors test the text against the original languages and makes changes where they judge the translators were loose in their treatment of the originals. In doing this, they treat the translator's work as improvable and take license to know better than them about how their work should read. Now, the translators might agree that their work was not perfect, but they might also have asserted to some, even many, of the changes, but there is evidence that they rejected some of the readings that their editors decided were better. It is worth noting in passing that these changes collectively show about the work of the translators. Almost all of them are lessons in the small degree of license the translators allowed themselves to vary from literalness in their works. That's from page 86. That's the same page that Vance is quoting here, okay? Look at the next point. Vance saw no reason to correct Norton here and praises his work throughout. Vance's third edition of King James's Bible and its translators reports honestly on the printed history of the King James text, noting that true textual changes and revisions have occurred. In chapter 26, titled Word Changes in the King James Bible, Vance states the following on page 325 while speaking about the book of Ephesians. Notice what he says, page 325. On the other hand, consider the differences between the King James Version of 1611 and the edition in use now. There is only one word added. So he's saying there's an additional word now that wasn't in 1611, okay? And Ephesians 6:24, and one word subtracted from it, amen, Ephesians 6:24, okay? Now watch, there are 33 changes in the italics. The italics is not the same. I'm going to be getting into talking about the italics here in the very near future in my From This Generation Forever class, but the italics is not the same. There are changes in the italics, and 45 in capitalization. Regarding actual word changes, there are really only two of substance, okay? Now notice this. He is acknowledging that there are words added, there are words subtracted, okay? And he's saying that there are actual word changes. This is what Vance is arguing on page 325 of the third edition of the book. On page 326, Vance uses the Gospel of John as an example, and he says, quote, from page 326, other biblical books of a different genre than Ephesians exhibit the same characteristics when it comes to differences between the King James Version of 1611 and the edition in use now. The Gospel of John has 21 chapters, 19,094 words. There are only four words added to the present edition. Four words are added, okay? And said, I, but, in John 7:16, 15:4, and 16:25, and no words are subtracted from it. Aside from the expansion of abbreviations, the correction of three typographical errors, and the forms of some compound words, the changes in spelling, capitalization, and italics, there are only seven word changes of substance. Okay? So, notice what Vance is saying. The common standard fare within King James only argumentation is to say that the only differences between a 1611 and a standard 1769 text are what? Printer errors, typographical errors, changes in spelling and capitalization. No one talks about the italics that I've heard with any factual accuracy. We'll get into that again in future lessons in my class. So notice that Vance is clearly saying that there are word changes that are not spelling, capitalization, and printer errors. He's saying this. Now, he's saying this because he's actually looking at the editions. He's not just relying on a book that Scrivener wrote in the 1900s. He's standing on Scrivener's shoulders. He looked at what Scrivener said, and then he went and looked at the stuff himself, and he's coming to these realizations through his own independent research and investigation of the facts, okay? So Vance is very clear, let me repeat it, that there are word changes that are not spelling, capitalization, and printer errors. It's very clear that that's what he's saying, okay? So note that Vance recognizes that there are real wording changes in the present text beyond printer's errors, spelling, and punctuation. Vance concludes chapter 23 on page 327 with the following statement. Our King James Bible in 21st century read substantively, okay, as the King James Bible in the 20th, 19th, 18th, and yes, even the 16th centuries. In its modern versions that have made significant changes to their text, the King James Authorized Version continues to be the trusted authority for Bible-believing Christians the world over. Now, here's what I want you to see. Vance is honest, and Vance is saying that there have been word changes. But notice he says that they are substantively the same. Whether it's an edition from the 20th, 19th, 18th, or 17th century, they are substantively the same. And notice also that he continues to say the King James Bible is a trustworthy Bible. So what Vance proves is that you can look at the facts, you can evaluate the situation in light of the facts, and you don't have to abandon the King James ship. You don't have to scuttle the ship on the reef and get into a modern version or a critical text Bible just because there are some realities related to the printed history of the King James text that don't fit the standard King James only narrative. Vance is very clear about this, that despite the wording changes, despite the things that he sees that have changed in the text from 1611 to today, that he still thinks the King James Bible is completely trustworthy authority for Bible-believing Christians the world over. He says it right here, okay? So Vance concludes that the AVs of today read substantially as the AVs of the previous four centuries. Not identically, but substantially, substantively, they're the same. I wonder where someone else has made arguments like this before. It's interesting, though. This is why I'm pointing all of this out. Are the people that are willing to attack Norton going to attack Vance? Norton is in the academy and is viewed with suspicion. Vance is not. Vance is a scholar, legit scholar in his own right, but he's viewed as a friend of the King James only community. Is the King James only community going to look at the research of a fellow member, and are they going to adjust and amend their views accordingly in light of the facts and the evidence? That is what this video is about. It is about the impending factual come to Jesus meeting that the King James professing community needs to have over the nature of its argumentation. So the meaning is the same in substance, but minor translation revision has happened. It's a fact. It's happened. All right? Put another way, verbatim identicality of wording is an untenable standard. Dr. Vance goes into detail to document the translation revisions of the AV are minor, they're minor, and not nearly to the degree of the revisions of the ESV and the New American Standard Bible have undergone. Just earlier this month, Crossway announced a revision to the ESV. If you look at the revisions that have been made to the New American Standard Bible, which Vance talks about in his book, Double Jeopardy, and now what are being made by the ESV, they do not compare, all right? So they definitely are not in the same category. To talk about the revisions that have been made to the King James text in the same category, in the same league with what's been done in the modern versions, is just an absurd comparison, okay? That said, he makes no argument that every and all changes in the AV are merely printer's errors, spelling updates, as David Reagan has instilled in the mind of Dr. Peter Ruckman's students. We've been very critical on this channel of David Reagan's piece, The Myth of Early Revision, because he just says stuff that's just flat out not true. Now, people can say, well, I have a faith position, And so I'm just going to believe what Dr. Reagan said, and they can do that if they want, but they do it to their own detriment because they accept, therefore, into their position and into their argumentation and their defense of the King James Bible, factually inaccurate statements that cannot stand up under the test of scrutiny, which is why, in my opinion, many people in the King James community have just decided to ignore Dr. David Norton out of hand, because he says some things that are extremely inconvenient to the normal standard King James only talking points. And now we have somebody within the camp, Dr. Vance, who has done the same work and is saying, look, there are word changes here, okay? So Dr. Vance ends his brief sampling of word changes in the authorized version with a cliffhanger, encouraging readers to read his new book, The Text of the King James Bible. Again, that's the new book that just came out a couple weeks ago, for a full treatment of the changes in the authorized version, which he calls the definitive treatment of the matter. The new book is his magnum opus, okay? It cannot be ignored. Anyone cannot afford to ignore this book. I'm going to leave a link in the description of this video about where you can order this book direct from Dr. Vance, okay? So, in chapter 14 of King James, His Bible and Its Translators, and again, we're talking still about the third edition, in chapter 14, that is titled Editions of the Authorized Version. And throughout this chapter, Dr. Vance uses the word revision and revisions to discuss the historical development of the text. Notice what he says on page 172. He says, only four editions of the authorized version can be called, for lack of a better term, revisions. Now that's a different, so he's saying they're revisions. For lack of a better term, they're revisions. That's what they are. They have changes in them. They've been edited. Through my own research, okay, I've come to believe that the work of the revisions extends beyond the customary four editions of 1629, 1638, 1762, and 1769. If you've watched this channel, if you've listened to my lessons of late in the From This Generation Forever class, if you've watched my conversations with Alex Boyko, you will know that this is an oversimplification. So I'm praising Vance very heavily in this video, and I am highly recommending people buy a copy of the book. But what I'm saying through my own research, building upon the shoulders of Norton and Dr. Vance, I bought all the fascicles, I showed you this already, that I and those who are assisting me in some research have come to realize that there are way more changes in the lesser editions. And if you're going to get the true story of the history of the text, you got to look at all of this stuff. It is not told simply by looking at the four folio editions of 1629, 1638, 1762, and 1769. Okay. So while I'm praising Vance and I agree with the vast majority of what he says, the idea that these four here are the only four that you need to look at to understand the history of the text, I've come through my own research to realize that it's more complicated than that, okay? Now, he proceeds with only those editions that are considered genuine revisions, and again, 29, 38, 62, and 69, okay? And then he gives pictures of them on page 179. Using and citing David Norton's work throughout, moreover, so while he's talking about these four editions, he's citing and using throughout Norton's book, A Textual History of the King James Bible, and he's documenting this and citing it and cross-referencing with it, etc., okay, throughout the book. Moreover, on page 249, he speaks of, quote, changes to refine, modernize, standardize, and further, quote, rub and polish the text, including the further correction of some readings of the 1602 Bishop's Bible. So he views these as what? What are they doing? Changing, refining, modernizing, standardizing, and a further rub and polish. That's from page 294. On the same page, he says, only some of these changes might be printer's mistakes. Some of them might be, but Vance is acknowledging that a lot of them are not. They are not the correction of printer errors, which is directly the opposite of what somebody like David Reagan argued in his book, The Myth of Early Revision. Some readings of the 1602 Bishop's Bible were retained by the King James, in the King James Bible of 1611, and were retranslated in the 1629, 1638, 1762, 1769 editions. Vance's use of the word refine on page 294 is the same way Norton uses the word on page 86 of A Textual History of the King James Bible, which Vance is quoting on page 173. See the citation above because I've already quoted that. Okay. Chapter 14 also includes the following statement regarding Blaney's 1769 Oxford Folio edition. Quote, this is from page 180. Blaney's edition became the standard because, as Norton says, it was clearly a step beyond Paris. In terms of orthography, grammar, and punctuation, it was a large step beyond achieving a reasonable approximation to the contemporary standard, to the contemporary standards. So Vance is viewing this as an up, as a further, I'm going to say, update of the English and the grammar and the orthography and the punctuation, but he's also acknowledging that there are, in fact, word changes. Now, elsewhere in his book, Double Jeopardy, The New American Standard Bible Update, Dr. Vance states the following on page 10 of the front material. He says, it will be seen that the vast majority of the changes in the editions of the King James Bible are spelling changes, whereas the thousands of changes in the New American Standard Bible Update are actual word changes. Notice what he says here. He says, though, the vast majority of the changes. So is he acknowledging the fact that there are changes that are updating in words, that there are word changes? The vast majority of them are spelling changes, but the vast majority is not the same thing as saying all or every change is a spelling change, the way that David Reagan argued. Notice what Vance means by, quote, actual word changes. He refers to changes in the text that alter the original translator's intentions, such as in the New American Standard Bible 1995 from the 1977 edition, or in the AV of today from the 1611 version. In the same volume, Vance says, quote, the vast majority of the changes in the editions of the King James are spelling changes. Put another way, not all the changes in the King James Bible are just spelling changes, according to Vance. Okay. Now, to argue as David Reagan did, again, in his booklet, The Myth of Early Revision, is just pure fiction, all right? And the King James community needs to come to terms with this, and they need to face the facts. They need to face the facts. You cannot buy the text of the King James Bible, read this, and walk away thinking that the standard interpretation of what is passed for knowledge in dealing with the revisions in the King James only community, that is legitimate. You just can't do it. And Vance knows this, which is why when he re-edits his third edition of the book, he says the kinds of things that we've observed him saying in this video. Vance is an honest scholar. He has looked at the data and the material himself with his own eyeballs, and he knows there are word changes. He knows this, all right? Now, with the publication of Dr. Vance's 495-page magnum opus, the text of the King James Bible, he has provided the receipts. So for the claims that he makes in Volume 3, he's provided the receipts in the text of the King James Bible, okay? No honest defender of the AV can afford to dismiss Dr. Vance's work out of hand like they have done with David Norton's work. They do so at their own detriment. And let me just say, the idea that it's only printer errors, updates in spelling, punctuation, that those are the only changes between a 1611 and a modern edition is not aging well. It is not aging well, and it cannot be doubled down on for faith's sake. Our faith needs to rest in the Word of God. Yes, I am a King James Bible believer and advocate because of what the Bible teaches about inspiration and preservation. But then when I go out and I look at the printed history of the text, I have to be honest and say that there are word changes. To double down on all of this traditional argumentation, like many want to do, is not going to age well. And this video is a wake-up call for people to actually deal with this issue, to not rely on what some leading lights said 30 years ago before all the stuff could be looked at in detail and specificity. So, lest one castigate Dr. Vance, and pronounce him that he is not a real Bible believer, like has been said about me and my co-author, David Reed, that we're not real Bible believers. So lest somebody castigate Dr. Vance and pronounce that he is not a real Bible believer or declare him to be, quote, a King James Bible faker or pseudo King James only, okay, for daring to say that the AV has been revised, they should soberly consider the words of Dr. Peter S. Ruckman from the January 2010 edition of the Bible Believers Bulletin in an article titled, Bile Dat Cabbage Down. Ruckman stated that the King James Bible experienced legitimate revision. So here's a screenshot. Here's the text highlighted. An inspiration that a Bible believer could explain in detail what God did in the AV Committee of 1611 and subsequent legitimate revisions. Dr. Ruckman said that there were subsequent legitimate revisions to the King James Bible. He said this in an article from January 2010 in the Bulletin. And then he says, which, by the way, absolutely exclude any revisions done after 1880. So what Ruckman is saying is that the revisions that occurred within the printed history of the King James Bible between 1611 and 1769 are not remotely the same as what happened with the revision committee in 1880, which I would totally agree with that statement. It is that what happened in the 19th century is not remotely the same as the kinds of things that Dr. Vance is cataloging in his work. Okay, but notice that Ruckman used the word revision and said there's been legitimate revision. But Reagan said the myth of early revision, that revision is a myth. Okay? Notice that Dr. Ruckman delineated between legitimate and illegitimate revision. Now, I am not a real Bible believer, according to some, for making the same observations as Dr. Vance and Dr. Ruckman regarding the printed history of the text. So some folks have said that Ross is not a real Bible believer because of his position on preservation, because of his, because of what things that he said about the King James Bible in the myth of verbatim identicality. But my point is this: this is a double standard and extremely hypocritical, because the same things that we've said, Dave Reed and I have said in our book, are the very same things that Dr. Vance and Dr. Ruckman are observing here. Okay, and I'll just call everyone's attention once again to the fact that on the Grace Life Bible Church YouTube channel, there is a video here. Let me find it. Right here. Did Peter S. Ruckman believe in verbatim identicality of wording as the standard for preservation? Where we go into Ruckman's teaching, audio teaching from the 1960s, and demonstrate that Ruckman was saying very similar things to what we have been saying in our book, The Myth of Verbatim Identicality. And also, I will add that recently, David Reed from Columbus Bible Church has also revisited this topic with his video, Ruckman on Verbatim Identicality. So the idea that Ruckman is a King James Bible believer, but others are not, is a King James only double standard that is being applied, that is being ascribed to people on the basis of inaccurate information, and I might add, not only inaccurate information, but an absolute refusal to even look at anything. And the reason why that has existed, the refusal to look at anything, is again because people don't like David Norton. And so the main point of this video is, if you don't like David Norton because you think he's a member of the Academy and you don't like some of his edits from the New Cambridge Paragraph Bible, get Dr. Vance and read it. Read it with an open mind, read it with an open Bible, and look at what he's saying, all right? So it is high time that King James Bible believers awake from the fantasy of false arguments that they have erected to prop up the King James only position. The cause of truth is not aided by these false arguments. It's just not. Factually inaccurate arguments are not helping our case. All right. One can embrace the true history of the text without embracing the critical text and modern versions. Okay, they can. You can remain a King James Bible believer and be honest with the facts at the same time. Dr. Vance's 459-page volume, The Text of the King James Bible, simply catalogs the facts regarding the printed history of the King James text without analysis. On page 10 of the preface, he writes the following, quote, "I write with no agenda, and neither am I trying to prove anything. I have no thesis and no conclusion. I am merely doing the critical research that has either never been done satisfactorily or never been done at all, and reporting the results. Thus, the book is more descriptive than analytical." Now, this is an important point that I need to make here, okay? That is absolutely true. There is nothing analytical in the book. Vance is simply reporting facts and data. He says that in the preface to the book, okay? Now, Dave Reed and I, having read the fascicles before the release of the book, having read Norton, having the ability to look at a lot of these printings ourselves through digitized copies, like I talked about in a recent video with Alex Boyko, Dave Reed and I, we did put forth an analysis of this in our 2024 book, The Myth of Verbatim Identicality. So we have definitely sought to put forth an analysis where Dr. Vance necessarily hasn't done this yet, okay? So this is the book right here, The Myth of Verbatim Identicality, How God Actually Preserved His Word. I'll leave a link in the description for this video. But I want to be clear about something related to this, okay? Our book is an attempt to offer an analysis of all the data that has been put on the table by Drs. Norton and Dr. Vance, okay? I am not saying in this video, I need to be explicitly clear about this, I'm not saying in this video that Dr. Vance agrees with the analysis in The Myth of Verbatim Identicality. I actually don't know the answer to that. A copy was sent to him. He was grateful to receive it. But what he actually thinks of it, I don't know. Okay, so what am I saying here in this point? What I'm saying here is he says in the book that he's just being descriptive and not analytical. What I'm saying is Dave Reed and I have used all of the data and we've tried to offer an analysis of what all of it means and how we think King James Bible believers should think about the matter in light of the evidence that has been furnished through these works that I've been discussing in this video, okay? So I am in no way saying that Dr. Vance agrees with our analysis. We, Dave Reed and I, demonstrate from Scripture that demanding verbatim identicality of wording as the standard for preservation / transmission is unscriptural and cannot be supported by the facts. So when you read in Vance and you read things about how there are word changes, but they're not substantive, that's the same position that we are arguing for in the book, The Myth of Verbatim Identicality, that there's a difference between a different way of saying the same thing and a substantive difference in meaning. I reject the modern version of the critical text because the changes are so significant that it substantively alters the meaning of the text. What we see in the printed history of the King James is verbally equivalent changes, not substantively different changes, okay? So, regarding the release of the text of the King James Bible, my research collaborator on this video at Simply Protestant Bible Believer wrote the following, quote, "A storm is coming upon us when sincere students get their hands on the text of the King James Bible by Dr. Vance and realize dishonesty has been in the camp in order to maintain the idea of verbatim identicality," again, that's our term, "without pointing to an exactly perfect edition of the AV. So here again is another observer of what is going on here who realizes that a lot of the argumentation in defense of the position is simply not true. It's not accurate. It's not factual. And he's realizing that if people will read Dr. Vance's book and take it seriously, that it's going to create a firestorm within the King James only community regarding the actual facts of the textual history. So I've said a lot in this video, and I'll just end with this. In my opinion, and the opinion of Simply Protestant Bible Believer, who again wishes to remain anonymous for now, the King James onlyism has an impending factual reckoning on the horizon. Okay? Those who dismiss Norton and dismiss Campbell cannot afford to do the same thing with Vance. And I challenge anybody listening to this video to pick up a copy of the book, to look at it, and see for yourself. So, as this impending factual reckoning is coming, it's here already, in my opinion. Would that people choose wisely in their thinking about this issue. So again, I don't want to have any misconceptions that Dr. Vance approves of our analysis in The Myth of Verbatim Identicality. My only point is to say that our analysis is based on a lot of the work looking at what Dr. Vance did in the fascicles. We cite Dr. Vance, we quote him, we look at examples from his book on page 15. There's more than 20 of them that we got from his work. And so our work in The Myth of Verbatim Identicality is building on the shoulders of Vance's work, the same way that Vance built upon the shoulders of David Norton's work. So I don't want there to be any misconceptions that Vance approves of our analysis, but he does not claim anything. He's simply reporting it something. So if you want a neutral thing, you're going to have to go look at the work. And this needs to happen, in my opinion, post-haste, because people are being attacked. Ministries are being excoriated. People are being lied about, okay, in an effort to defend a tradition that has within its edifice points and argumentation that simply aren't true, that crumble and fade away. And there's also people, I'm not going to mention names, but there's somebody who's a friend of mine who I'm watching go through a deconstruction of his position on the King James Bible precisely because what he is seeing in the actual facts is not lining up with the argumentation. And instead of looking back to the scriptures to inform how he should think about this, things seem to be unraveling a little bit. And so I have a concern there. And what I'm saying in bringing up that concern is simply to say this, that you can look at this information and have it strengthen your faith in the King James Bible, strengthen your faith that the King James is in fact God's word for English-speaking people, and not have it cause you to run to the hills or adopt some other position on the Bible issue. So, those are my thoughts about King James onlyism's impending factual reckoning. I appreciate your attention in this video. And before you go, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation, if you've never relied exclusively in his shed blood for you upon the cross, his resurrection from the dead, his death, his burial, his resurrection as the only total complete payment for sin, trust Jesus Christ today. Stop relying in your work, your effort, your performance, your church going, your good works, whatever you think is making you right with God, and trust and rely exclusively on what Jesus Christ did for you in shedding his blood on the cross, satisfying the offended justice of God against sin, raising the third day the victor over sin and death. Trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.